This morning we're going to address that age-old question of man, how can I be right with God? Now this has been a question with mankind ever since there's been mankind. Because man has an inner hunger, an inner desire for fellowship, for communion, for knowing God. And that's easy to understand. If there were a real Superman instead of just a fictional character, if there were really a being on the earth that was like Superman, wouldn't you like to be his friend? Wouldn't you like to know him personally? Sure you would. That way if you got in trouble, you could call on him and he would fly to the rescue and get you out. You'd lot rather be his friend than his enemy, wouldn't you? If you realize, well, he has superpowers and he can do great things, you'd want to know him if you possibly could. It'd be a real privilege. Well, man, especially before TV, had more time to think and look around the world and realize that there, all this didn't just happen. Somebody had to make it. A God somewhere is responsible for all this, responsible for me being here, responsible for all this, and I wish that I could know him. I wish that he was on my side. I wish that when I got into trouble, that I would know that I would have some help there. When we needed rain for the crops so we wouldn't starve to death next year, so we could have enough of a harvest to have something to eat this coming year, when I was in a situation like that, I would like to be able to get some help from a higher source. So man had that desire to know God and to be able to fellowship with God and have God as his friend. And man has rightly understood all along that if God was going to be on your side, if you were going to enjoy this fellowship, this communion, you were going to have to be right with God. You couldn't be at odds with God and expect that. You're going to have to be in good with God. You're going to have to be in right standing with God. When we talk about righteousness, that's what we mean, right standing or good standing. It's from the Saxon, whatever that is. It's from the Saxon that we get this word, and it used to be spelled R-I-H-T-W-I-S-E, right wise. And as W.E. Vine in his Greek English dictionary says, that clearly expresses the meaning of the word righteous. That is the way it used to be spelled, right-wise. We're talking about being right-wise, not at odds, not against, but lined up with, right with, in favor with. You know, somebody says, well, you have to have a high-level clearance for this job, or high-level clearance to get into this building or have access to this information. What are they talking about? Well, they're in effect saying you have to be in right standing with this organization, company, government, whatever it is. In other words, if you've been at odds with them, if you've been a member of the Communist Party or you've been a leader of the Black Panthers or in the Students for a Democratic Society or some things like this, it's going to be more difficult for you to get into a government position where you have access to classified material. You're going to have to be right with them. Your record is going to have to be clear. They're going to have to be able to look at you and say, now here's a fine, honest, upstanding citizen. He's been doing the right things all along. He hasn't been out doing wrong. Saying they'll give you clearance, or they're saying we give you our stamp of approval. You're okay with us. You're righteous. They don't use the term righteous, but that's what they mean. You're okay. You're approved. You're acceptable. You haven't been at odds with us. We can trust you. You fit in. Well, we need to bear these things in mind as we talk about righteousness from the Bible. Good standing with God, or being in God's favor. Hallelujah. Now, there's no one that I would rather be in right standing with than God. Now, we all, to a lesser or greater degree, have a desire as human beings to be in right standing, actually, with everybody. We don't like people to hate us. We don't like people to exclude us. Do you? Do you like people to exclude you out of their group? When you were younger, you were playing with a group of children, and two or three of them would snub you and say, "Hey, we're not going to play with you. We're going to play off over here." You don't like that, do you? And it translates into peer pressure, and we all live under that to some extent. I really believe that it's the greatest during the adolescent years, during the teenage years, when peer pressure is really a strong, strong motivating force. But all of us, no matter how old you get or how young you are, you have the compulsion, the desire to fit in. That is, to be right with the group, to be right with the society, to be right with whatever it is you're involved in. Not to be excluded. You want to be in the in crowd. You want to be involved, not shut out. We're talking about righteous, right standing. Man has an inner desire for this. And of course, it's manifested in many ways. All of the religions of the world, every single religion, every single one is because of this inner desire of mankind for righteousness. Now, when I say righteousness, remember I'm saying right standing or being good standing. Being in and not out, not at odds, but in favor with. Every single religion, every single one, from those that their religion involved cannibalism, to those that their religion involves throwing their children in the fire as a sacrifice to their God, or throwing them in the river as a sacrifice, to even a religion of secular humanism or a religion of intellectualism or whatever, it's their desire to be right. To be right with the way things really are. Even if they might say, "Well, I don't believe in God," they're still trying to be right with the truth of the way things are, even if they don't even label it God. This is a driving force behind humanity. This desire to be right. Not to be wrong. To be right with God. To be right with the forces of nature as they exist. Or whatever people label God. It's still a result of this one hunger. The desire to be right with God. The desire to be right with the Creator and the creation. And this hunger has caused people to do a lot of strange things. A lot of strange things. Because this is such a deep hunger and such an important one, you can understand if you look at how people even do strange things just to be part of a lesser group, just to be in right with maybe a crowd of three or four teenagers that they run around with, or maybe the people on their block, or even their church congregation. There can be the pressure to fit in. If I wear a tie and Joe Blow here wears a tie, it exerts a little bit of pressure on you to wear a tie, doesn't it? Well, I've got a better idea. Why don't all of you never wear a tie? Then maybe finally it'll exert enough pressure on me, I won't have to. Some of you say, oh, I'm not affected by that, but you're affected by, in other ways, the desire to fit in. And the group can put pressure on you by the way it does to do the same. Well, thank God, and being right with God, it's always good, because God is perfect, God is pure, God is totally right. So if we're going to fit into His group, if we're going to be part of His in crowd, if we're going to be lined up with Him instead of crosswise with Him, instead of at odds with Him, if we're going to be in His favor, well, that means it's going to be a good thing, because God is perfect and good. And so if we identify with Him, line up with Him, become like Him, it's going to be to our benefit and advantage. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look here at Romans chapter 3 and see, first of all, a way that it's impossible to be right with God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. Now, we need to tell you, remind most of you that have heard me say this over and over before, that in the New Testament here, the King James translation especially of the New Testament, whenever we run across the words just or justified, that it's in the Greek language, which the New Testament was written in, and we have it translated into English. In the Greek, it's all the same word. So sometimes they translated it righteous, sometimes they translated it just. Sometimes they translated it justified, sometimes they translated the same word made righteous or became righteous or declared righteous. It's the same word, same meaning in the Greek. So he's saying here, by the deeds of the law, by keeping the law, no flesh, not one person will be righteous in God's sight. Now that is a big statement. Galatians 2:16 tells us the same thing. You don't have to turn there, but I think I will read it to you just to reinforce this. In Galatians 2:16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified, or declared righteous or made righteous by the works of the law, knowing that. That's something we need to know. We need to know it. Now you say, oh yes, I knew that. I learned that 29 years ago in Sunday school. I believe, sure, you're not. You can't be right with God by keeping the law. But we need to really, really know this. Because it's so easy. It seems like our human nature, it's in us to feel like we need to achieve something, to deserve something, to get it. How many of you are good receivers? Well, you don't have to raise your hand necessarily, but most people are not. Most people are not. You try to give them $10, they won't take it. Oh, no, 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 no. You say, oh, wait a minute, they've just been trying to give it to the wrong one. Give them my phone number. Well, if you need it pretty bad, you might receive a little easier. But most people don't. Most people, even Christians, are very poor receivers. Very poor receivers. It's a matter of pride, actually. But they feel like, well, I need to work for this. I need to earn it. I need to deserve it. And that's the way in our relationship with God, we approach this with that same attitude. Well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And I'm going to do better here, and I'm going to do better here, and I'm going to quit that, and this thing, I'm going to stop that too. And then I'm going to start going to church. Then I'm going to start praying, you know. Then I'm going to ask God to heal me. What are we doing? We're thinking that we can be in good standing with God by trying to do better. That's what we're thinking. We're being deceived that way. Whenever we think like that, we're being deceived. And of course, that's what all religions... Now, I'm not, at this point, labeling reality in Christ, new life in Christ, what I trust you all have as a religion. I'm using the term religion in a negative sense. And all religions are the desire, the hunger of man to reach out and try to impress God by what they're doing so God will be pleased with them. And you have to be honest with yourself. Well, you don't have to be, but you should be. And I'm going to make you be honest and admit that to a very great extent, Christianity has been made into a religion. And although I include them, no tomatoes please, although I include them, this is not limited just to the Catholics, the Roman Catholics. It's not limited to them. Now, they've sure made a nice religion. I mean, they've got a good religion. You say, are you putting down Catholics? I'm putting down religion. I'm putting down anything that tries to reach out and impress God by what they're doing so he'll have favor on them, because it's unnecessary. And Christianity outside of the Roman Catholics has to a large extent done the same thing. You fall into the same trap yourself. Just this morning you did. Most of you, to a greater or lesser extent. You think that you have to do things a certain way to impress God and to get God's favor. Well, you don't. Well, you do, but you don't. In that way, you do have to. You impress God by your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what you impress God by. But you don't impress God because... Now I see some people here that, for example, they wore ties and some people didn't. I've noted the names of all of you that didn't. No. No, God is not any more impressed with the ones of us that wore a tie than those of us that didn't. And I hate to say this. Totally goes across my grain. But I don't like to believe this. I don't want to admit it. But God's not any more impressed with those ladies of you that wore a dress than those of you that wore pants. Now, I don't like to admit that. But we do. We have our traditions. I mean, even as charismaniacs, even as word believers, even as whatever you want to label yourself, you have traditions. We still, and I'm not saying that we should just go fly off and be free and just float around. That's not God's plan at all. But we have traditions, and where they can become wrong is when we begin to attach significance to them, like we're going to impress God by this, and we're going to gain an entrance to God, we're going to get some brownie points with God by this, and God is going to hear us better because we do it. Whether it's attending church services, whether it's reading your Bible, whether it's saying Hail Marys, or whatever it is. In Titus... Look there, please. Titus, the third chapter. If you don't know where it is, we'll just keep going back in your New Testament toward Revelation. And right before you get to Hebrews, you'll find it right before Philemon. Anyway, Titus, right after Timothy. In Titus chapter 3, begin reading in verse 4. But when the kindness and the love our God and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Did you know that the kindness and the love of God our deliverer has appeared? Aren't you glad that's what appeared? Aren't you glad that when God showed up on the scene or He manifested what He wanted us to know, that it didn't turn out that He was some ugly, cruel monster? Hallelujah. I'm telling you that the Scripture plainly tells us here that the kindness and the love of God, God is kind. God is a great lover. The kindness and the love of God, our judge. No, that isn't what it says. But you say, God is our judge. Yes, He is our judge because His love and His kindness forces Him to judge. But God doesn't see Himself as a judge. God doesn't have a brass nameplate sitting on His desk saying, judge, you know, He's trying to impress everybody and convince Himself, this is who I am. This is my identity. I am the judge. I am the judge. No, that's not the way He sees Himself. Now, judging is one of the jobs that He has to do because of being God. He has to do it. There's no one else qualified. But God, in His self-identity, that's not what He thinks of Himself. Oh, I'm the judge. I'm the judge. Yo, let me looking for something to judge. No, He sees Himself as a Savior, as a helper, as a deliverer, as the lover. This says, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now, here's something important for you to realize. That for almost all of you sitting here today, that's a reality in your life. You know, it's appeared to you, it's became clear, it's become evident, become known to you, it's something that you begin to see, that God is kind and a lover, that God is good, that God is on your side, that it's not a hard thing to know God, but it's a pure pleasure. Now that's begin to appear to you. You begin to see it, and ever more clearly, I trust. But do you realize that to over 99% of all the people that live on this earth today, that's never appeared? They've never seen that. They don't know that. Do you realize that? Because most Christians don't even realize it. Most Christians don't know that God is like that, let alone the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Hindus. They don't know it. I guarantee you, they don't know it. They see God as some cruel monster. If you don't believe it, just look at their idols. They are the ugliest things. They have all of these hideous features and hands coming out of everywhere. Ugly, 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 and mean, fire-eating, and oh. That's what they think of God. You see, it hasn't yet appeared to them, the kindness and the love of God. And so they're involved in a religion, very sincerely, trying to be right with God, trying to get favor with God, trying to get in on God's good side. And they're working with the wrong God. They're not working with the God of kindness and love, God our Savior. They're being deceived into worshiping the devil. Well, this says, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, and that's toward all men, not just toward the Oral Roberts and the Billy Grahams, not just toward those that are perfect and sinless and have never done anything wrong. That's not who He's talking about. Toward all men, it's appeared. And it needs to be made clear to the rest of humanity that's never seen it. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. In other words, this love and kindness to get in good with God and His love and kindness and Him being your Savior, your deliverer, it's not going to come about by works, by actions of righteousness which you do. You keeping the Ten Commandments, you giving this sacrifice, you giving these offerings, that's not how you're going to get in lined up and on the inside with God, have an inside track with God, this God of love and kindness and mercy. That's not the way. How? But according to His mercy, He saved us. Now listen to that. He saved, past tense. That means delivered. He delivered us. That means you are delivered. Glory to God. According to His mercy, He delivered us. He set us free through the washing of regeneration. Thank God, the washing of the blood of Jesus cleansed us from who we were. New life was imparted to us. We were regenerated, made a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again by the Spirit of God. Our past died. Our future came alive with Christ. Hallelujah. Washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been, past tense, having been justified by His grace, having been made righteous by His grace, by His grace, by His grace, by His grace, we have been made righteous. Hallelujah. To get on the inside track, right standing, good standing with this God of love and kindness that's appeared, it's not a matter of doing good works, works of righteousness which we try to do, whether they are, well, face it, works of righteousness would always be good works, wouldn't they? Now, it's not wrong to do good, but it's wrong to put your confidence in your doing good to give you credit with God. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's going to fail you. It's unstable. If you're trusting God to heal you because you have perfect church attendance for the past 50 years and you've got pins all the way down your lapel, you're going to be sadly disappointed. If you're trusting to make heaven your home because you go to church, because you don't kick your dog, because you don't beat your wife, because you don't get drunk every Saturday night, because you're better than your neighbor, because you don't cheat on your income tax, because you went to church all your life, because your daddy was a missionary and your mother was a saint, if you're trusting in that to get you to heaven, you are going to be sadly mistaken. Sadly disappointed. You say, I know that. Well, good. I'm glad you know that. But the same thing applies to you getting your prayers answered, to you walking with God and receiving all of heaven's best right here now. If you're trusting in your works and your abilities, you're going to be disappointed. Now, let's balance this out and realize, as it goes on, verse 7, having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. But the next verse says, this is a faithful saying, these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So I'm not saying go out and do bad. See how bad you can be. That's not what God's saying. He's just saying don't trust in your good works to get you any credit with God, because God has already put to the credit of mankind the good works of Jesus, and you'll never top that. So what you need to do is to quit going on your credit and go on His. Quit going on your account and go on Jesus's. Quit trusting in your right standing and accept His. Let's go back now to Romans. Let's look at the 5th chapter. Where we find out here, see once again, if you've already found out, but you see once again that righteousness is a gift. Now, Romans goes through here, in Romans it talks a lot to prove this point, that if you work for something, it's not a gift, is it? It's wages. Do you work all week or all month on your job and you get your paycheck and get your paycheck and then you write a thank you note to your employer and say, thank you for the nice gift? No, it's not a gift. It's all right and good to be thankful, but it's not a gift. You worked for it. You earned it. You deserved it. Right? Well, hopefully you deserved it. Hopefully you earned it. Hopefully you didn't just put in your time. When you go into the pay window Friday afternoon, you don't say, oh, could I please, if it's all right with you and you feel like it, could I please have a paycheck this week? Pretty please. It'd just be real nice. No. You go up there and you expect it. And if it's not ready, you put your foot down. You say, I want my check. Come on. What's the hold up here? Let's go. Give me my money. I'd work for it. And some people almost approach God that way. Well, it's in vain. But if you earn something, if you work for it, it's not a gift. It's not a gift. And Romans 5:17 plainly tells us, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Right standing with God is a gift. Being on the inside track with God is a gift. Being in God's favor is a gift. Being straight with God instead of cross-grain, cross-wise, or at odds with God, that is a gift. And as we've already read, by the deeds of the law, by trying to do good things, keeping rules and regulations, no flesh is going to be right with God in His sight. Now, you may be right with your church group. You may be right with your organization. You may be right with your peer group, your society, by keeping the rules. But no human being is ever going to be right with God by keeping rules. Not one. Not you. Not anybody. Not anybody. Never has and never will. There's only one way, and that way in Romans chapter 3 tells us, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's through putting your faith in Jesus Christ, not in your works, not in your church membership, not in your priest, not in your pope, not in anything, not in your grandmother, not in your dad being a preacher, not just because you were born in the church and lived in the church. You know, you could be born in a barn and live in a barn all your life, but that wouldn't make you a cow, would it? Not just because you're born in America and America is supposed to be a Christian nation. No. It's verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, it's only by His grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute, that's the only way that we can have it. But through believing in that, putting our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our substitute, realizing He took our place and accepting that, putting our confidence in that, our faith in that, we can be right with God, in good with God. Wouldn't you like to be in good with God? Wouldn't you like to be able to call on the Lord and He hear you and He answer? Sure you would. Everybody would. When you get in a jam, you cry out, He delivers you. Sure you would. There's a one way and one way only, and that is by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. The Pope has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Oral Roberts has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Billy Graham has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every human being, Mary the mother of Jesus, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. A-double-L, all. Every human being has. Every single one has. Everybody. Everyone. Everyone. So, since we all came into that same category of not really deserving it, God can just say, all right, the gift is to whosoever will. It's to all of you. And you, John or Tom or Bob or Peter, Sally or whoever you are, you can have as good a standing with God as Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Kenneth Hagin, Peter, James, Paul. You. Why? Because they'd missed it too. They didn't have an immaculate conception. They weren't God come in the flesh. They'd missed it too. They were human beings. But they received that same gift of righteousness. Glory to God. That same one that's available to you. Hallelujah. A gift of a gift. Aren't you happy when you receive a gift? And the more valuable the gift is, no doubt, the happier you are. Well, this is the most valuable gift that a person could possibly receive. Being right with God. The gift of righteousness. Oh, if you could just realize. Now, I've not seen it either. I've read about it. You see pictures, hear accounts. But if we could just all go and see the mothers throwing their babies in the Ganges River to get some favor with God. If we could see people burning their babies, if we could, to get favor with God, if we could go and witness some of these things, humans are sacrificed in different ways. If we could go and see people walking for miles on their knees, if we could go and see people beating themselves, and even some people having themselves hung, nailed on a cross. If we could go and see some of these things and realize that what they are after, what they're endeavoring to do, is a free gift. And we've got it. And we know we've got it. And we don't have to go through all that junk and all that deception, all that rot to try to get what we've already got. Now, a lot of Christians are trying to get what they've already got because they don't know they've got it. But you've got it. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you've got it. The gift of righteousness. You're in right with God. You're in the in crowd. You're in right with God. You're in the inner circle. You don't have to try to get in. You believe to get in. You believe in Jesus Christ. But most of us Christians, I'll tell you one reason, one big reason why most of us never accomplish more for the kingdom of God, never make more of a contribution, never see more happen. One reason is we're operating trying to operate out of our credit instead of Jesus' credit. We're operating out of our account instead of Jesus' account. Well, all our righteousness, as Isaiah tells us, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. If you're trying to go on your accomplishments, your credit, your works of righteousness, you won't get very much. You won't get very far. You won't receive hardly anything. But if you operate out of Jesus' righteousness, out of His account, out of His credit, you can turn the world right side up. Hallelujah. Your world, at least, can't you? Praise God. Righteousness is a gift. Verse 28, it says, therefore we conclude. You say, praise God. I was just hoping you was getting to that part of the message, the conclusion. Therefore we conclude that a man, this is a you man, male or female, a man is justified or made righteous or in right with God, good standing, all these things that we've been talking about. How? By faith, apart from the deeds of the law. In other words, you worshiping God on the right day or whatever, that's totally extraneous. That's not the central point. The central point, how can a man be right with God? How can you be justified? It's by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Never been another way, never will be another way. That's the only way. The only way. And that applies whether you're a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu, an agnostic, a Catholic, anything. A Seventh-day Adventist, a charismatic. It doesn't matter. There's only one way. It's not by your church membership. It's not by your deeds and your actions. It's by your belief. It's where you're placing your trust and your confidence. Now, of course, if you do believe in Jesus Christ, your life is going to be changed. Hallelujah. You become a person that's capable of doing good. Then you won't be ruled and lorded over by the necessity of always doing bad, because you have a new nature, a new being. Sure, you'll be tempted. Sure, you'll have opportunity to do bad still, but you want to do good. When you're truly born again, you desire to do good. It's natural for you to do good. Then, praise God. Now, let me just read this verse in closing. I just thought of another verse I meant to use too. And we will use both of these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, and then Romans chapter 5, or 4, verse 25. We'll take 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for He that is God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And Romans 4:25, verse 24 is talking about who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. We'd sinned, we'd missed it, and so we needed a substitute, somebody to take our place, and He was delivered up because of our offenses, because of your sins, because you've missed it, because of the things you've done wrong. Jesus Christ died, suffered and died. He was delivered up because of what you did wrong. He had to pay that price because of you. But that's not the end of the story. Delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You see, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the total price had been paid. Redemption was completely available to all that would receive it. Being right with God was, for the first time, freely available by His grace. Hallelujah. Because the total price had been paid. So how do we receive it? How do we tap into it? Romans chapter 10 tells us, begin reading in verse 9. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now this is not just talking about saying words. It's talking about meaning it. Confessing, acknowledging is the meaning of the word confess. Acknowledging Jesus as your Lord, openly, with your mouth. Not just you write it in a secret little note and seal it up. Confessing, acknowledging Jesus is my Lord. Believing in your heart, in the very depths of your being, that He died in your place. But He didn't stop there. He was raised from the dead. Why? Because the price was paid. Redemption was complete. Raised from the dead, you will be saved. You will be delivered. You will be set free. Then it says, for with the heart, verse 10, for with the heart one believes to righteousness. You don't work to be right with God. You believe unto righteousness. Believe in Jesus Christ unto righteousness. Hallelujah. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. Stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 I am so glad for the gift of righteousness. The gift. It's a gift, and it's ours. And we received it by grace freely. Freely received it by. Aren't you glad for the gift of righteousness? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the love and kindness of God our deliverer has appeared to us? Oh, don't you wish that it just appeared to everyone? Well, it's appeared. They just haven't seen it. That's all. The reason they haven't seen it is because the God of this world, the old deceiver, has blinded their minds through darkness. And that's why, as we share the Word, the entrance of God's Word brings light. And then they can see the truth. And they can see what's already appeared. That blindness is dissolved, that darkness is dissipated, and they can see what's already appeared. It's appeared to us, but they haven't seen it yet.